Chapter 5. One of the necessary, if sadistic, aspects of the school week was that many meetings were held on Monday afternoons. Full faculty meetings were held once a month. Before Adele Becker, most coaches have been exempt from those meetings. She changed that. If a team did not have a game, they could designate one coach to supervise the athletes while the others were required to attend the meeting. The coaches tried to revert back to their old way of doing things after Becker retired. But Ron had encouraged Muriel Browser to keep the requirement in place. So the athletic department were surly participants. Adele had spread the requirement to include clubs and non-athletic organizations as well. So no one actually felt privileged or any more screwed than anyone else. Ron's counterpart was in charge of attendance at the meetings. Samuel Dutchman found the assignment distasteful and was as lax as he possibly could be. Behind the backs of other administrators, he made sure the teachers understood that he was not keeping a record. Muriel called the meeting to order as Ron was having his first food of the day, a buttered bagel that had been fresh in the cafeteria that morning. Muriel was a well-dressed woman who had been a guidance department chairperson for the most important part of her career. She was winding things down with this promotion and change of scenery. Her husband was a newly retired executive who wanted to spend time on his yacht, cruising up and down the East Coast, and eventually venturing into the Keys and maybe even to the Caribbean once he gained enough confidence. Muriel had assured him this was just going to be 3 years, and then she would have a retirement package that contained free, lifelong health care for both of them, and a healthy monthly pension. He had agreed, but said he was going to be taking the time to learn and would not be home every night. The unspoken message was that she did not have any longer than the 3 years to fiddle around. "I'm happy to see all of you here today and thrilled that everything is running so smoothly." There were eye rolls from the athletic department, but Muriel was not aware of them. Ron was. He watched them as he chewed his bagel that felt spongy in his mouth, but at the same time, tasted so good. Then she began to read the announcement sheet word by word. Ron watched as the announcements bled into one another. He was searching the room for Chandra Peters. He found her sitting off to the side with the rest of the child study team and wondered if she knew about his idea for David Carpenter. Then Muriel said, "With that, I would like to turn things over to Dr. Tuck to give us an update on discipline." Ron put down his half-eaten bagel and moved to the podium and glanced out at their faces. Some teachers did not look up and spent their time grading a stack of papers and displaying their quiet protest about the need for these meetings. The halls at the change of class, as you know, are our most vulnerable times of the day. I appreciate those of you who step into the hall during this time. Your presence is a calming influence. I do wish that more of you would do this when it is at all possible. Our number of referrals is about where it was last year at this time. I know it feels like more, but that's because we have new additions this year, and that is causing some confusion. But the rest of our student body is getting fewer and fewer referrals, and that is a credit to you. There were some smiles, some stony faces, and some who just kept on doing papers. I want to ask if there are any questions that you would like me to answer in public. Ron waited. He was comfortable with the quiet. He was about to say, then, let's wrap this up, when he saw a hand. Donna Singletary from the art department. Is there nothing we can do about the custodians destroying some of the student projects while they are cleaning the rooms? Ron did not know what to say. He had heard nothing about it. Can you explain what you mean? I've now had 3 student projects broken and thrown out by the custodians. I never leave my classroom unlocked. If I am not there to supervise, and there is no other reason that I can find for it. Were the projects all stored away when they were vandalized? Donna was an emotional woman to begin with, and this had been festering in her for a while. Are you implying that I have done something wrong, Dr. Tuck? There it was again. He guessed that he would have to get used to it. Last year, it was a novelty for them. This year, it was a weapon. No, I'm just wondering how widespread it is. These kids and I work hard on these projects, Ron. It's disheartening when our own custodial staff treats them like they're garbage. I'll get into it, said Ron. I promise to get back to you. Donna nodded and then shook her head in a negative way with her immediate circle of teachers. Another hand went into the air. Paul Presti said, I have students who cannot possibly make it from their previous class to mine on time. Did that even get considered when you folks were creating schedules? Ron looked over at the big Russian guy who was in charge of guidance. Carl Polimnik spoke in a voice that was thunderous, and that was his normal tone. He upped the volume for crowds. There is no reason that a student cannot make it from any spot in this school to any other spot in the school during the 3-minute change of class. I suggest that you are being given a line by a kid trying to get over on you. Polimnik laughed in his self-amused way. Presti did not sit down. Then I suggest that you come to the basement and wait for the bell, and then try to make it to the 3rd floor and into my room through a crowded hallway. See if you can do it. I tried it, and it wasn't carrying 20 pounds of books. Polimnik seized upon this. If a student is not properly utilizing his or her locker, then it is the student who needs a better organizational plan, not the guidance department. Ron cut in. People were squirming. They wanted to go home. I'll get into it, Paul, and I'll get back to you. If there is nothing else, thanks for your time. I hope you have a good week. They dispersed quickly. Polimnik walked over to Ron and snorted. That's not the kind of thing you should be letting go. I won't, Carl, but they wanted to go home. It's well after 3. They've had a long day. Polimnik snorted again and stomped off. Muriel Browser said, I have an appointment now, Ron. Can you make time to see me in the morning? Sure thing, said Ron. He walked back to his office. Joyce followed him in, handed the day's stack of referrals. Ron asked her to have Frankie see him in the morning. He wanted to walk a route during the change of class tomorrow, and he also needed to make an early spot for Muriel Browser. Joyce made notes on her ever-present pad and said, "Done." "You heading home?" said Ron. "Unless you need something." "No, I'm fine," said Ron, and sat down to review the referrals.